Hi, everyone. Welcome to the One Love Podcast, a show about people turning their compassion into action. I'm your host, Kim Bauman, and the founder of One Love Movement, a nonprofit dedicated to advancing social justice for kids. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right. So we have a very special guest today, and I actually voted for her dad, Bernie Sanders, in the primaries. So please welcome Heather Titus, yogi and co-founder of Yoga Unify, a nonprofit dedicated to preserving the stewardship and unity of yoga. Hello, Heather. Thanks for being on One Love Podcast.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's super exciting to get to connect with you over the past year-ish time frame. I'm forgetting now. So it's like exciting to get to, you know, talk to you and kind of hear about your life and what's going on in your world, especially during this really important time of the election. So I wanted to start by asking about your mom. So your mom, Jane O'Meara Sanders, she is such a powerhouse. Oh my gosh. since the early 80s, and even before meeting Bernie, your mom was involved with policy and higher education. And I loved reading that she and Bernie met from her organizing the mayoral debate that he was a part of way back when he was running for mayor. So that's just like a really cool story. Right. And I wanted to ask you, how has she most influenced you as a woman?
I love that you started with this question, Kim. Wow. You know, one of the earliest lessons I got from my mom since I was just very small was to question authority and that you could do anything that you wanted. I don't think she expected that I would become a teenager and she would become the authority I was constantly questioning. But she really influenced me by the way that she has lived her life and everything that she's gone after. There's nothing, when she says there's nothing you can't do, she's speaking from her own her own experience.
So yeah.
I always felt like the world was anything I wanted it to be.
Oh, wow. Question authority. That's really powerful.
Critical thinking. Mm-hmm. Question authority.
So I know too that Bernie is your stepdad. And as I was doing, you know, my research and kind of looking up on stuff, what I love the most, and I even think I read an article that your mom had stated this, that everything is either like you guys don't use the language step or half. So it's not like your stepbrothers or, you know, half sisters. And it's just like, this is my sister, this is my brother, this is my daughter. And so I just love that about your family. How old were you when you first met Bernie?
Oh, 9 years old. He's been a part of our family my whole life for the most part. We're just family. So father, sister, brother, you know, I think of Bernie as my dad. He's had such an influence on me throughout my entire life. You know, I would say growing up, I benefited just like all the people of Burlington really benefited from Bernie's years as mayor in the 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I really saw him doing that affects my work until this day, still in the work that I do, is I saw him empowering people, constantly creating systems and structures that allowed everyone to come to the table and participate in their own destiny, in their own community, you know, in the decision making in their community, and that was really huge for me, not only as you know, a family member watching Mom and Bernie with full commitment to bettering people's lives, but also as a member of a community that really thrives even now with community participation.
100%. I see that too, Heather. So what, when you were 9 years old, like, what did you think when you first met him?
Oh gosh. You know, I was really happy for my mom. I was like, what are they always working on? You know, around the folding table. No, he was really fun. Always, you know, started out immediately, teaching us different basketball games. He's always played ball with us when we were kids, and now with my siblings' kids, and chess. Definitely taught me chess when I was a kid.
That's a good one. Chess is one of my favorite games to play. I love that game.
Play sometime, Kim.
I know. Oh my gosh, chess with our. That's right. We talked about that date, so we'll have to include chess for sure. So, you know, something I noticed about you, Heather, is that, well, actually, before I move on, I want to go back to your mom because I feel like I glossed over that really quickly. And I just wanted to know, I want to hear more about what are some of the things that your mom has spoken up about or advocated for? Like, how have you witnessed her just being this complete, like, powerful female that is with you day in and day out?
You know, she is such a heart-centered person, and really leads with her heart, you know, and activates her mind around things. And I think, you know, raising us for a short while as a single, you know, really as a single mother until Bernie and her were married in 1988, she always wanted to create opportunities. I was like the... I don't even know what the word would be, but you know, if I said, oh, I wish I could snowboard, you know, but we can't, by the next year, all the kids in Burlington would have some, you know, after school program where everyone would bust out to Bolton and snowboarding. What I saw really was her dedicating her years when she was raising us to empowering youth and creating the youth office in Burlington. You know, there we had a newspaper. We, you know, all as young teenagers in Burlington under, you know, Bernie and Jane era, really felt like City Hall was ours. Like we could just walk in and, you know, go to the meetings and have plays on the stage and write our newspapers and all of that. So, you know, she, as we grew up, you know, continued to expand, but the days of the teen center and childcare and all of that, she went into higher education later. And so, you know, I think there's been a real consistency in empowering the voice of young people. In whatever different track that's taken, all the way from preschool to higher education. And that's, you know, the way that she leads from the heart has really influenced me. And, you know, another thing was it's a certain level of fearlessness. Like many of us, you know, you may not know, but, you know, if you're younger than me, you may not know coming of age in the 80s was women were still given a really hard time for wearing jeans or working at all in a lot of cases. So I was also, you know, she was a pioneer to me, just kind of unstoppable and always found a way. And you know, I always remember that movie, Working Girl or something like that. There were a couple of movies.
Yes.
9 to 5 and Working Girl. And, you know, I look at it now as a woman and I think it's amazing how far we've come, you know, not only in my mother's lifetime, but in mine, even growing up in a completely different environment. Mm-hmm. We really have it made right now.
Gosh, that's so funny you say that because Working Girl with Melanie Griffith, right? Was it Melanie Griffith? That yes. Was one of my favorite movies. Okay. I think we're pretty close in age. And you know, I'm so glad we're talking about this too, Heather, because I mean, I can just see I have such a different appreciation too of your mom being a single mom for, you know, before she had met Bernie. My mom was a single mom as well when my dad passed away. And I think that's just in terms of her empathy and being able to connect to, you know, America, Americans in general and women, that's a huge deal, because until you've been a part of a family that's had a single mom, I don't think people have any idea how hard it can be.
You know, I would say that what has changed now is that even families that have two working parents struggle in the way that I look back on being raised by a single mom. There's no more household in a general working class environment where one person can work and the other can raise the kids, you know? So I think about that a lot. Like even families that have both a mother and a father happening, you know, to be present in that family environment, they may both be going to work all the time. So yeah, there's a lot.
Gosh, that's so true.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying there's a lot of.
I think there's, you know, that struggle. I appreciate that you could share what that might look like, you know, to know what it takes to be a single parent.
Yeah.
When I contemplate like how nobody would question me working or someone younger than me working as a woman, like there's, I wouldn't say nobody, but for the most part, culturally, we've really shifted to, that's just a given, higher education and study. And I feel like there's so much on the line with this election, you know, in terms of the position of women right now. I just hope that everybody can even look back to, it hasn't even been that long that we've had the right to vote as women, and that everyone really takes that to heart and shows up to participate in the process and choose who represents you and choose who is making decisions, mm-hmm. which really affect your day-to-day lives. I think that it's possible that growing up in a very active and political family that was constantly working to make a difference in people's lives, I was able to see how powerfully the representatives, in your community actually affect your day-to-day quality of life. And we need to own that, you know,
yeah.
Like representatives work for us. And so participation is key. And, you know, we really don't have the highest participation in this country for voting as I think we could. Like, it would be nice to just have Election Day be a holiday, and everybody could just go vote easily, and you know, and we all show up, because I think
yeah.
people really recognized the impact on their day-to-day life beyond taxes, you know, that their representatives have, and what a beautiful, beautiful thing this democracy is and really could grow to be even more so if everyone participated.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think also in lines, I love what you said about how it really hasn't been that long that women are able to express their right to vote. And same with people of color. You know, it hasn't been that long that, you know, where they used to be suppressed completely and they were not right. able to vote. And so what a
Still
huge
are.
Privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I was also, that's interesting too, Heather, that you mentioned about, you know, our state representatives, because I, you know, this is the first year that I've really, really dove in and paid attention to how things connect. And I think too, that like so many people, you know, I just recently learned myself, like even that, for example, a state legislator, not the president, but the state legislator, is determining, you know, how long someone might be in prison for, you know, drugs. Is it 5 years or 50 years? That could be up to your state legislator. And so it's so interesting to just to educate and to know about things like that. Many people don't realize that.
Sure. Yeah. And up and down the ballot,
mm-hmm.
from the president all the way to your local school board, your judges, like, a lot of times And it takes a little work to show up, right? Like study the ballot, look it over. You know, this is one of the actual awesome side effects, I think, of this pandemic. And I don't mean it that way, but, you know, get everyone getting their ballot early, or most people getting mm-hmm. their ballot early, and you really have time to study it, consider, you know, who. So yes, state representatives, your representatives in Congress, there's a lot of government positions, and they're all out there really making choices for us, hopefully, you know, and there's some differences and changes that I think it would be healthy to see less money in politics. And there's some, you know, Supreme Court decisions that have happened mm-hmm. that, you know, really challenge what our democracy means. And we're really all going to have to carry that conversation on.
Right. I so agree. And, you know, I feel too that in terms of, you know, reading and educating and knowing what you're voting for, I found myself in a position where, you know, my friends and I are disagreeing on how we feel about certain propositions or certain, you know, people in office. And, it's exciting that we're even talking about these things. That's also new. I think a lot of the times, you know, we're happy in our own bubble, so we don't necessarily, you know, show up and really talk about what's on the ballot. This year's been so different with all the division happening in the world, the dividing of our culture and people. And so how would you say, like, how do you deal with people who think differently from what you believe or from what you feel is right?
I don't want to sound overly simplistic, but for me, it all comes down to yoga and my yoga practice.
I love that.
I will dive into that, but I want to say, you know, since we're, you know, going down memory lane here, and I'm going to go to the 80s when there were three TV channels, you know, and a nightly news that was facts. These are the facts of the day. And then people would make up their mind for the most part. We're also living in a time where this division is really being stoked by the fact that we don't necessarily have a collective agreement about anything, because we're all getting different information because of the rise of social media. And, you know, we're getting constantly fed to feed our own bias, right? So I think there's more division than we would even see. Even there's always been fights on both sides, and it is a big time, huge time. Part of this disagreement is coming from just straight up lack of, you know, civics education, mm-hmm. lack of understanding, lack of a real fourth estate in journalism, lack of understanding what we can trust and who we can trust. So the reason I say that is because if we don't have a collective agreement on what is true and what is not true and what are the facts, then arguments don't even make any sense, and people are getting, you know, riled up. And so when I, you know, I've been practicing yoga for almost 30 years, and there's a truth of my humanity that emerges in that practice. You know, I just don't honestly during these times know how people who don't practice yoga are even getting through. Sometimes I'm like, wow, what are they?
Right, like, what's their self-care?
So, you know, that humanity, that piece, where I'm really able to sit with myself, and, you know, allows me to see the not so great things, the dark, shadowy kind of things that emerge from my experiences and bad habits, as well as my, you know, biases and my tendencies. I mean, really, it's an examination of the mind. And, well, there's many layers to it, but that piece of it allows me to see people mm-hmm. that I do not share opinions with compassion and lovingly. And, you know, I don't think that opposition and the fight is where we win. I think that, you know, seeking real understanding, real communication, and sharing of as much education and true information, although that's really up for grabs these days. People just don't believe it is true, right? But I see in the hearts of everyone that they think they're all doing the right thing. And the passions are running really high right now. And there are a lot of things on the line. But how do I do it? I try to remember that there's a loving soul in that person. No matter how much I disagree with them, they either need, you know, healing or more education, or they will never have the same view as me. Or, you know, I can't look upon someone with hatred.
You know, I love what you said about that. Inside of all of it, we each think that we're right, because that's so true. I never have thought of it that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's value systems to look at, right? But what I see is a lot of, working people who are on different sides of the issues right now, who I know just want what's best for their family. They want what's best for their children. They want what everybody wants, you know, health, wealth, happiness, rewarding work. And it's when you step up into, that's where you can really put a big challenge and stand up for what you believe in, is when you know what your values are. And, you know, there are differences in values, and historically there have always been differences in values between parties and class. You know, there's some people will put manifesting wealth over, you know, a social safety net, you know, so there's always going to be value differentials, and that's where we can have really strong, and they should be healthy, conversations. And that's why it's so important that we choose the people who are going to be having those conversations by showing up and voting.
Yes, agree. Like putting the people in office who we agree with, so they can make decisions that are in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so simple. Like, we all think we're right. I'm still kind of stuck on what you said there, because I am in huge disagreements with a few of my family members on a lot of important issues right now. And all I can think is, they are so wrong. Like, it's all I can think. And I just kind of flipped it where I'm like, wow, they think I'm so wrong too, though. So it just helps me to neutralize that, because I don't want to obviously disown my family. I'm going to love my, aside from our disagreements on some of these large issues, like, we have a very great relationship. And so thank you for that, Heather.
You know, and with that softening that you just found in that space, mm-hmm. from there, you can inquire and ask, you know, ask them, and maybe they will ask you, you know, why are you so passionate about this issue? Like, what do you know in your worldview and your world experience that has led you to this place of mm-hmm. believing this so strongly? Instead of us, what we tend to do is, you know, to other each other.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Because we want to dig in, and because, you know, these, like I have said it now two or three times, this is a very important time in our culture and, you know, globally as well.
So, you know, even just with the news this week about the 545 children that, you know, that was disclosed that they had been separated from their parents back in 2018 at the, you know, at the southern border of the U.S. And I guess, you know, 2/3 of those kids' parents had been deported out of the U.S. and they don't know where those kids are. I mean, even issues like immigration, we were talking about women's rights a little bit ago, you know, people on the margins, the people of color, like, all of that is, it's so important to know that all those issues are governed by, you know, each and every person in office. And I'm not talking about just the presidency, but I'm talking about, you know, like, all the local ones, like you had mentioned, Heather, that just so hugely impact how things are running right now?
There are very large debates on values to be had right now. You know, the children, the situation with the children breaks my heart. It has since learning about it, but the level of responsibility to lose track of families that have been separated is absolutely mind-boggling and heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, there are, this is a nation made of immigrants. You know, this is how the whole thing started. Of course, this is a nation and honoring the land that was already here before all the immigrants showed up, with, you know, Native Americans living here in many, many different organized communities, and really examples of the democracy that we would create to be found. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand it. I think we live in a culture that is very consumer driven, and I feel that that's changing perhaps right now, but that again is one of those avenues that cultivates a fear-based reality. Mm-hmm. It comes back to the othering, and it comes back to, you know, my gratitude for this practice that I can have that allows me to see the humanity in everyone. And I wish that everyone could have that, right?
And going back to, you know, how you grew up with such empowering influence, you know, from your whole life, starting with your mom, and then later on having Bernie come into the picture. What is that like? I mean, I know you are very, very out of the limelight. You actually kind of fly under the radar very, very well. And so how involved do you get with your parents' advocacy? What is that like for you?
Oh, well, I will say that 2 presidential campaigns were what a thing to see and witness. You know, if anybody out there who has this kind of influence is listening, I would say, what if just all the primaries were held on one day, right? And that you could travel around for a while and then they were all held on one day. Just a suggestion, not that I, you know, honestly, you know, I haven't been that involved. Occasionally, you know, outside of the household, you know, it's definitely a different world, the world of politics. And I've chosen a different direction, a community building, you know, previously through the arts and now yoga and bringing people together. And I feel very supported in that by both Bernie and my mom. And, but, you know, I will say when I've always been so impressed with the work that Bernie has done in the world and my mom, and constantly have stayed in touch. And it's been so easy. I think Bernie was one of the very first Congress people to start an email newsletter, like recognize the value of connecting with people over the internet way back when. So even when I was, you know, living in big cities or living overseas, I was always able to keep in touch with what he was working on. And I got involved in the 2016 campaign really with the same level of awe and passion as probably you and everybody else, you know. It was almost hard to believe. It was like, wow, okay. And also so beautiful to see, really such loving experiences. Those crowds of people that showed up everywhere always had such a really loving and compassionate nature. It was really, really beautiful to be a part of. And of course, I asked myself, you know, to really, really dive into if I was living my values, getting that close to someone who's having such an impact on so many people. Beautiful, beautiful opportunity. I was so grateful to be able to participate. Always very welcomed by Bernie.
Yeah, but a lot of people know, and we're trying to get more word out about how important it is to show up this year and to understand why your vote counts and to understand that we can all vote right now for what we want changed. What does this year's election mean to you? And especially as a woman, like, what is on the line in your eyes? What first comes to mind for you?
I personally really care about the environment and climate change. And I've seen so many environment regulations get rolled back. I think that there are a lot of behaviors in government right now, which are less than democratic, really. And so in a lot of ways, we need to show up to shift the next several decades toward real participation, real conversation, and really having the government work for us. But the immediate nature, it's so close. So whichever side you're on, everybody needs to know that your vote matters, your vote counts. And the more that you can study who's representing you, and, even if you don't have the bandwidth to do that this year and shift your attention to realize that every local election and all of that, at least vote for the top of the tickets where you really know where you stand. The things that are on the line for us right now are, really not only the environment and climate change, but how we're all taken care of. How huge is this wealth gap going to continue to be? When you ask me about growing up with Bernie, all I can say is that he's been saying the same thing for 40 years, but the numbers have been changing. 40 years ago, it was the top whatever percent has all the money, and they're going to keep taking it, and the lower people don't. And it was probably about 6 years ago, I was somewhere where he had a speech, and suddenly it was in a boat, okay, a ferry boat. And he said, the number of people that are allowed on this boat now have more money than the top, 80%. And that just went boom. So that's been changing and changing and changing. I know, Kim, that I'm not here to influence which way people vote. I think both sides would agree they feel like everything's on the line. But as a progressive, as somebody who wants to see real equality and real opportunity and real social responsibility and community and uplifting of everyone in this country rather than just a few people taking the power, I feel like this is the vote of your lives. This is the vote that where we continue to have a democracy or we face very dark days.
And, I want to piggyback on that, Heather, about something you said, which was, determining, you said something about determining our next decades. And, even when it comes down to the Supreme Court, whoever becomes a justice, they have a lifetime term, unlike the president, that's only 4 years, and then they have to get revoted into it. And so whoever, I completely agree, whoever is in the office right now is completely, completely determining our future for the next several decades.
You asked me what it means as a woman too. I can't believe that, the conversation is even being had right now about rolling back anything to do with women's rights. There's a lot of rights being rolled back. There's talk of, rolling back civil unions and gay marriage. There's a lot on the line with the Supreme Court. If you look at voter turnout for the many, many, many previous years or the few previous decades, it's terrible. It's terrible. We as American citizens, because I hear people joke about like, I'm just going to move, or people who already moved, right? A lot of people can't move. That's a little bit of a privileged, it's privilege if you can just move, right? We live here and we actually have been given a participatory democracy. And all we have to do is participate in it. So it's really up to us to participate in it. And if we don't, then of course, you know, there's always going to be a group of people, and historically there always has been, and maybe there won't always be, but you know, who want wealth, who want power, and they will take it if we don't, you know, maintain it ourselves. And it's our birthright here in this country, and slowly and surely becoming everyone's birthright, as it should be, after years of, you know, discrimination and oppression and suppression to, as you said, women, the African American community. You know, we're finally, I believe, reaching a time now where we all can see each other's humanity. I've been so impressed with the really young people for a while. and, you know, everything, gender identity, it's all on the table. Everyone's saying we're all people. This is the beautiful rainbow of a participatory democracy that we could all get behind and really benefit from if we don't sit this one out, and we don't sit them out in the future either.
Oh, I love that, Heather. I love that so much. Well, I am so inspired to get to talk to you. I've just been living and breathing this election for many months now. It's just that important. And to get to chat with you even outside of this and be connected in general, and, you know, to get to have you be heard, is, I'm really grateful for that. So thank you so much for coming. And I wanted to close out by asking if there's anything else that you feel you want to, like anything else that you'd love to say or for people to know. Let's end that way.
Well, you know, I guess the only thing I would say circles back to this piece about softening. And there's been a lot of talk about anger on both sides that, you know, could potentially erupt depending how the election goes. And, you know, people talking about worst case scenarios and, you know, fighting here in the country. I think I would just encourage everyone to recognize, like, just look back on any moment in your own life where you've thought a fight was actually going to make things better. And there is righteous anger, and there is a time for standing up for things you believe in, and there's a way to do that. You know, I'm just really hoping that we can all move forward with compassion for one another, and we can all move forward standing up for what we believe in without having to degrade into any sort of chaos or destruction. And I really, really hope that for our country. Thank you so much, Kim. I am just so grateful for all that you do and all that you're out there in the world doing. And thank you for including me and giving me an opportunity to say, please vote, do yoga if you can. And let's remember to love our brothers and sisters and stand up for what we believe in.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the One Love Podcast. If you'd like to support this show, please subscribe, rate, and review so that other people can find us. To learn more about our nonprofit, visit our website, onelovemovement.org. One is spelled out O-N-E. Or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Our handle is onelovemovement.org. Again, one is spelled out.